Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. All right. Well, let's get seated. Let's try to sit down throughout the service. Because if you leave, you're going to miss something. You know, unless, of course, you need to take the kids out if they are making noise. But otherwise, you know, just try to sit down so the Lord can bless every one of us. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Hallelujah. You know, well, it is our consecration weekend. Although today we will not be breaking bread, but we are going to get through this by the grace of God. We normally break bread at the end of that. We won't do that today. But I want us to just concentrate on the Lord right now. So, I'm going to ask that the babies be quiet, but we are recording these messages and we're putting it on the website. Thank you. Now let's lift up our hands where we are seated. I should also remind us that in the little kids' room, we do have a live feed into this place. So if you're there, if you take your baby there, that's making noise, you won't miss anything because you'll hear everything that's going on. Thank you. All right, let's lift our hands up and let's pray. Just soak in the presence of the Lord for a minute. Forget whatever is going on right now or what will be happening after service. Forget the marriage workshop. Forget anything else. Right now. Right now, right here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise and give you the glory. Can I say, somebody say amen with me.
Amen.
We thank you for this glorious time that we are in the house of the Lord. And we thank you for all the things that you have promised us. Hallelujah. Especially the promise of the Father, which you have shed abundantly abroad. And we have even witnesses of the same. And today, Lord, as we go deeper, Lord, we are asking you, Lord, to visit us in a special way. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You'll notice I've been coming down here, you know, because I want to make it a little more personal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, today, the flowing of the Holy Ghost. The flowing of the Holy Ghost, or the flowing of the Spirit, is what we're going to be talking about today. Hallelujah. Now, last Sunday, by the grace of God, we started the Holy Ghost series, which we have been praying for a long time, that God should visit us in a special way. Everybody's been praying that. But the Lord said it is time.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And this is how God works. You know, when God, you know, people are praying for things, you know, and so forth, and all of a sudden God says it's time. Then he begins to make them pray even more and to seek his face. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm just going to do a few minutes of a quick brush up to bring us to where we are right now, in case you missed any of the services. Now, remember, our messages are on the website. So if you miss something, go back and listen. But it's not going to be like a personal experience when you are right there. But at least you'll get something. Now, last time we talked about the gifts and calling of God, and we showed that the Holy Spirit, now we showed that Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world. Because that's what the Bible says in Romans 6:23 and Romans 5 and 8. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And Romans 6:23 says, we've fallen short. I mean, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is what?
Eternal life
through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that's the gift of God. But the gift of God to the believer is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We covered that last time. Now, I want to cover something quickly today for our benefit. You know, for those, and we prayed for some on Friday night. For those of you who are here, we thank God for you. We prayed for some. But I want to establish, for those who are not here, establish something else. You know, that we covered briefly on Friday. I want to briefly cover that today as well. I want us to remember that the experience of the Holy Spirit, which we call baptism in the Holy Spirit, is a separate and distinct experience. We mentioned this also last Sunday, from the conversion. And I'm going to go through quickly some scriptures. As I call the scriptures, they can put it up quickly. I'm just going to go through them very quickly, you know, and then move on to today. Now, the first scripture is in John chapter 14 and 17. In this verse, Jesus said, look, the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. If you read it from verse 16, he said, look, you know, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know, but he said, look, I'm going to pray the Father and he'll give you the Spirit. You know, when he comes, you know, verse 17 says, for he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. So there, right now you see, right away you see the difference. The Holy Spirit is with you at conversion, because you could never be saved if the Holy Spirit wasn't there. The work of conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That he's the only one that can bring somebody to the cross. There's no other way to do it. We preach the word, but the Holy Ghost is the one that can bring them there. Now, so, he dwelleth with you at conversion, but Jesus said he will be in you later on. So mark that down in your scriptures. That's John 14 and 17. Now let's look at some examples quickly. Just go through this very quickly. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, after that wonderful, glorious experience of the Holy Ghost coming down the first time upon the early church, they asked Peter, what shall we do? And he said in Acts 2:38, he said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So first you repent. You're baptized in water. He's talking about you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we see that. Also, we see that in Acts chapter 8. I'm just going to paraphrase these stories. Philip had gone down to Samaria, and he had preached wonderful, done great things. Devils were coming out of people, crying and so forth. And many people were getting converted, bringing their curious acts and so forth. Now, from verse 14, he says, now, when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, that they should go and minister the Holy Ghost to them, because the Holy Ghost was not yet falling on those people. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see, again, there is a separate experience. Now, when Peter and John had come down, they laid their hands on those disciples and they prayed for them and they received the Holy Ghost. So we see that. Also, in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, we are told that Paul, having passed through some coasts and so forth, came to this place, you know, at Antioch. And finding certain disciples, he asked them a critical question. Have you received the Holy Ghost? He found disciples. So these were people that already believed. Then he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That means from the time you believed until now. Amen? That's the use of the word since. And those disciples said to Paul, we have not even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul said, unto what then were you baptized? They said, well, we were baptized unto the baptism of John. Paul said, well, the baptism of John was only looking forward to Christ. That was, you know, and so forth. He said, look, that's baptism of repentance and all of that and so forth. And he spoke to them about the Holy Ghost and all of this. And these people, when they heard that, they were baptized. Now, this is one example where people were actually baptized in water twice. Because they were baptized, baptism of John. Now they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And then when they did, they received the Holy Ghost. So, now, I just showed that these are separate experiences. Separate experiences. No. So now that we know that, it is for the believer to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you had the Holy Spirit with you when you were converted. Jesus said he is with you. That's when you are converted. But he will be in you. So we're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about you being immersed in the Holy Ghost. You know, that's what baptism means. It comes from the word baptizo, which means to be immersed. So that's how we baptize people in water. They are immersed. Baptize the Holy Spirit means you are also immersed in the Holy Spirit. So that's our review. Today, let's go to the flowing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The flowing of the Holy Ghost. How he flows. And we covered some of this on Friday, and I will cover some of it again today. The first scripture that comes to mind there, and this is our text for today, is in John chapter 7. And we see Jesus from verses 37 to 39. Say, on that great day, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, if you thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. Come unto me and drink if you are thirsty, Jesus said. And he said, as the scripture has said, he was quoting Isaiah 44 that said, I will pour waters on dry grounds. You know, Jesus quoted Isaiah 44 and verse 3. He said, you know, as the scripture has said, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow. That's the key word today. Flow rivers of living water. Amen. Amen. This is what Jesus said. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then verse 39 gives a commentary in parentheses and says, but this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which the believers should receive, because they had not yet received the Holy Ghost then, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is our text for today. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, first of all, he said, come if you are thirsty and drink. Hallelujah. That's an invitation. But he said, look, this kind of drinking is going to produce an experience. It's going to be a flowing. Now, the flowing is what we want to emphasize today. The flowing of the Holy Ghost. Now, why is the Holy Ghost not flowing? And we are going to cover the reasons why there is a blockage. Why the Holy Ghost is not flowing. One, in the life of the believer, and also in the church. Why it has not been flowing like it should. Praise the Lord. Now, the first, I'm going to give you about seven reasons. There may be more, but these are the ones that the Lord brought to my mind as I was seeking the Lord this weekend in preparation for this. The first reason is that we limit God. We limit God. We are complacent. And the word the Lord used for me to me was complacency. We're complacent. So, to illustrate that, we read on Friday this story in Ezekiel chapter 47. And I want us to look at it again. But I'm going to go a little further than what we did on Friday. Because on Friday we were only showing the measures of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to go a little further today. Now, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel will participate in a vision. You know, it was a vision, but the angel was making him do something, and he will participate. So he showed him this river that was issuing out of somewhere. And at first, he was on the brink of the river. And then, he went inside, the angel did, and measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought him with him. Come with me. And when he came, you know, remember, first he's outside the river. So he's there. That means he hasn't even got any experience whatsoever. Then he went in 1,000. And every time he was measuring 1,000 cubits. It was deliberate. So he measured 1,000 cubits. When he got in the water, it was up to his ankles. I'm repeating this for the benefit of those who were not there Friday. Then after that, he measured 1,000 cubits, and this time the water was up to his knees. So you can see the progression in the anointing, how he's measuring it out. Then he measured again 1,000 cubits, and the water was down up to his loins, which is the hip right here. And then, as if that was not enough, he said, come on, let's go deeper. Amen. And then he went and measured another 1,000 cubits. And when he went that far, now he was completely immersed. The water is way over here. This is not a water that you can wade through. You're going to have to swim. Hallelujah. So he went through all of these experiences for the Lord to show him a lesson. But more importantly, for us today. Now, when he brought him out of the water, he went to the banks. And he saw on the side of the banks, he saw trees on every side. Now, these trees are there. They didn't jump right in. They are right there. The river of living water is there. But the trees are just on the bank. You know, that's how far they went. But, and we covered all this on Friday. But I want to go further. The part that I want to cover today starts from verse 9 of Ezekiel 47. We want to show what the Lord said here. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moveth whithersoever the rivers shall come. We're going to show the revival that comes from the flowing of the Holy Ghost. Everywhere that these rivers shall come, whatever they come in contact with shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, folks. Does that sound like souls to you?
Yes.
I will make you fishers of men.
Amen.
There will be a multitude of fish because these waters shall come thither. And they shall be healed.
Yes.
When these waters begin to flow, here's what happens. There is healing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to talk about another kind of healing today that some people must receive before they can receive the Holy Ghost. There are people here today that cannot receive the Holy Ghost until they receive this healing. I'll be talking about it in one of these points. The Lord brought it to me this weekend. Now, when the waters are flowing, wherever they get to, people will be healed. And wherever the river comes, it will bring it alive. The flowing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap if you understand that. Amen. Hallelujah. But let me stop here. This is, you know, number one of the reasons why we don't flow. We limit ourselves. We limit ourselves to the brink of the water. Sometimes we don't even go in, like those trees that were on the banks. They're not going in. Or we limit ourselves to just ankle deep anointing. And some people will go even deeper. And some people go deeper. Some people go deeper. Remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, we are told this, and we covered this last Friday also. If any man thinks he knows anything yet, let him know, 1 Corinthians 8, 2, that he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So even if we have received the Holy Ghost, even if we have the gifts of God flowing, what you have, let me put it to you this way. Compare an ocean. Uncle, some of you have heard me give this illustration before. Compare an ocean and a bucket. You know, you can take your bucket to the ocean and take water. And then come back and take your bucket there and take some more. You know, what you have now is like the bucket compared to the ocean. Hallelujah. You can keep taking and the ocean it will not even be depleted. Hallelujah. That's right. So we limit ourselves. That's one reason why the Holy Ghost is not flowing. But let me talk about, before I go to the next few points of why the Holy Ghost is not flowing, let me talk about what it really means to flow. Because I just caught that. Somebody said, well, it's flowing. No. So, let's look at flowing. What does it really mean? Well, here's a good illustration. Every one of us knows what a tap is, and we know that in our homes we have piping behind those taps. There's piping, there's water inside those piping. But for the water to come out, you have to actually open the faucet. Is that correct? Okay. So you have the ability to open the faucet and to turn it off. If you open it, the water can come in or come out. And you can turn it off. But there are some things that may make your water not come out with full force. The piping may be clogged. Over the years, calcium deposits or whatever is in there clogged the thing up and the water is not flowing. There's just not enough pressure. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And even something as simple as a strainer. You could put a strainer in front of at the mouth of the faucet. This little thing is like a sieve to sieve the dirt from coming. And I've had that in my house. You know, when the strainer gets clogged up, the water doesn't come out. You remove the strainer and also boom. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's right. So you can see some things that prevent the water from flowing. Now take, for example, you know, Jesus used to say, and the kingdom of God is like unto a parable. I'm giving you parables now. The flowing of the Holy Ghost is like unto these parables. Now, take a look at the garden hose. The garden hose. Anybody ever done anything with a garden hose? Okay, I use that all the time. Now, these days, they have these high-tech garden hoses that will not kink. But the one I have in my house, I've not moved up in life yet. The one I have in my house is the old one that kinks. Now, so sometimes when you have the garden hose, you turn on the water and the water is flowing very well. But all of a sudden, the water is not flowing. Even though you've turned on the tap completely and you have engaged the nozzle. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've turned on the tap, you've engaged the nozzle, and the water is not flowing. Then you realize that there is a kink somewhere. Are you still with me, folks? Then you trace the kink, find out where that kink, that water hose is kinked, and then you untie it. Out of a sudden, boom, the water comes out. Amen. And those of you who are nurses also and medical staff, you know this with your nurse, with your patients, when you have them on those drips and various things in there, they have that thing, you know, there that's passing the drip into them and the tube. And they've got the monitor there too. And if the thing kinks, it starts to beep. Am I right? And the nurse, the attendant, has to come in there and unkink the thing, because if you let that kink go on forever and not correct it, the patient will not be getting any nutrients or any medication, because the pipe or tube that supplies that thing is kinked up. Praise the Lord. Now, for the medical staff, they do have this thing that alarms kinks. Well, for the Holy Ghost too, there is an alarm. See, but what happens is his alarm are different things that telling us that there's a kink, you know, but we don't pay attention. How does the alarm of the Holy Ghost go off? He says, well, get up and pray. And we turn it off, you know. They say, go to the Bible meeting, Bible study, and we turn it off. Go to the prayer meeting, we turn it off. Go to the Holy Ghost meeting, we turn it off. You know, do this, we turn it off. You know, beep, 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 we turn it off. Look, if you do that long enough, the battery may run out and there may not be any beeps. And what's happening is there is no more beeps for some people now. It's like conscience already seared. You know, we have now adjusted to the ways of the world. We're not flowing in the Holy Ghost again. We're just doing things, you know, like dead people. Dead people. Now, God wants the Holy Ghost to flow. And we are going to get rid of some kinks today. Now, I've already told you of one kink, which is we limit the flowing of the Holy Ghost. We think we already got it. Well, you don't got it like you ought. Amen. The next one, and I'm not saying this in any order, you know, it can be, you know, I'm going to say about seven of them, but I'm not going to say them in any order. I talked about healing that people need to receive. There are some people that have emotional wounds. It may be unforgiveness. It may be something that has happened. It's a kink. And unless that is healed, they won't be able to receive the Holy Ghost, because there won't be a release. There's a tightening. There's a tightening that emotional wounds creates. But I have good news. Hallelujah. Wherever this water gets to, there is healing. You just got to release. Now, Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25 and verse 26, and when you stand praying, Mark 11, 25, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, all these wonderful things like moving mountains and so forth, which he said in the first few, a few verses before that, it's not going to happen. So sometimes emotional wounds over time creates a blockage, and you got to release. You got to release yourself. Sometimes people don't even forgive themselves. You got to forgive others. You got to let the Lord heal that wound, and then you can have a breakthrough. Amen.
Amen.
Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Amen. And if you find that you're not having that liberty because you still have emotional wound in you, you need that liberty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, there are some other, that's number two. Maybe not number two in my list, but two of the seven. There are other ones that I want to talk about. Another one that happens is doubt or intellectual pride. You know, unbelieving. You were told in the book of James, look, if any man doubts anything, let him not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Amen. Amen, folks. A double-minded man cannot receive anything from the Lord. But sometimes, again, you know, people are puffed up. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, I say to everyone through the grace that is given unto me, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. In order for this Holy Ghost to flow, you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will raise you up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, there are many more reasons why the Lord is showing us that we have these kinks. So let me go back to my notes here. And we've talked about the limitation. Another one is an unyielded spirit. When we don't yield to the Holy Ghost, we can't really have this flowing. A good scripture for that is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we covered this extensively last Friday. Paul starts by writing, he said, I beseech you through the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. Yield your bodies and do not be conformed to this world, that you may prove, he said, be ye renewed in your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So sometimes an unyielding spirit, we want things our way, and so on and so forth. You know, that makes life very difficult sometimes to receive the flowing of the Holy Spirit. Another one is what I call here religious tradition can also block the flowing of the Holy Ghost. We covered some of it last time. It could be because, well, maybe you are from a church that says speaking in tongues and Holy Ghost and all those things are things of the past. You get the Holy Ghost only when you believe, and that's it. Well, that's religious tradition. Those things can block the flowing of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
And it could also be that we are so religiously pious and so whatever, we cover this on Friday, that the service is so organized that the Holy Ghost cannot flow. We want everything to be perfect. We want the praise team to sing perfectly. We want the instruments to be perfect. And then after the praise team, then we have prayer, then we have this, then we have that, then we have the other, then we go home. You know, and it's so structured. Structure is wonderful because God is not the author of confusion. Amen. We must have structure, but we have to have a balance. There must be a balance. There must be an opportunity for people to let the Holy Ghost flow. Hallelujah. So that's another reason why the Holy Ghost may not be flowing. So we've covered about four of them so far. You know, let's quickly go through this because we really want the Holy Ghost to flow today. Amen. Another one is the fear of the supernatural. The fear of the supernatural. Well, the Bible says here in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. That God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen.
Amen.
But he has given us the spirit of adoption. We are his children. And we can cry, Abba, Father. But some people are afraid. They say, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to me if I receive the Holy Ghost. Well, Jesus settles that in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. He said, look, if you being evil know how to give gifts to your children, good things, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? And if you ask him for bread, he will not give you a stone. If you ask him for fish, he will not give you a snake. And if you ask him for egg, he will not give you a scorpion. So there's no way that a believer will be asking for the Holy Ghost and then get the devil. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. So we settle that one. So don't be afraid of the supernatural. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, Paul says the same thing again. Say, look, we have not received this spirit. And what was Paul saying there? He was telling Timothy, look, stir up the gift that is in you. Stir it up. You know, say, stir up the gift that is in you. Let me read that to you. I don't know if they put up the scripture yet. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Did you put it up? Verse 6. Okay. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. He's reminding Timothy, you know, Timothy probably, like many of us, let the thing go dormant. It wasn't, you know, it was just whatever. So Paul is challenging him. And now Paul is going to give him an exhortation not to be afraid, to release the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost flow. Verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Stir up the gift. Don't be afraid. Amen. So that's one reason why people are afraid. But he has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And also, he's given us the spirit of love. Amen. You know, the gifts of God, you know, they walk by love. Amen. Now, so that's another reason why people may not receive, is through the fear of the supernatural. Now let's cover the last two quickly. So far I've covered a limitation, I've covered an unyielded spirit, I've covered a religious transition, emotional wounds, fear of the supernatural, I've covered doubt. The last one is unconfessed sin. Not necessarily in that order, but just put them down. Unconfessed sin will sometimes block, actually all the time, block the flowing of the Holy Spirit. Because in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we are told, look, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his arm withdrawn that he cannot show forth his mighty power. I'm just using my own words. That, you know, the Holy Ghost is not asleep that he cannot flow. That's another way of looking at Isaiah 59. But what has blocked it? Your iniquities. Verse 2. Your iniquities, he said, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not flare and he cannot flow. Amen. Now, if God is speaking to you concerning any of these areas that you need to unblock, unkink, whatever it is, begin to pray softly as we are going into this right now. Because the Holy Ghost wants us to flow in him, and he wants to flow in us. And one of the other things we covered, what is the purpose of this flowing? Well, we already showed it's going to bring great revival, bring salvation to people and healing and souls and so on. But one of the other things that Paul spent a long time talking about in Romans chapter 12, he talked about it. You can read from verses 3 through about 9. And then he talked about it a lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the body ministry. The body ministry. We talked about this on Friday. But let me go over quickly for the benefit of those who are not here. We are members in particular. God deals with you as a person, but also deals with the body of Christ as a body. Amen, folks? Amen. We are members in particular, but all one body in Christ. Now, as we have head, eyes, arms, legs, and all these things, and they must all function together, even so is Christ. Every part of the member of the body of Christ must function in unison. They cannot function alone. You can't cut your arm and put it over here and think that it's going to work. No, it's not going to work. You can't take the wonderful brain that is so magnificent that controls everything in the body and take it out of the head and put it somewhere and think it's going to work. No, it's not going to work. Everything has to work together. Praise the Lord. The hand cannot say, because I'm not the foot, I am not of the body. If he says that, is he therefore not of the body? Answer, folks. If the hand says, because I'm not the foot, I'm not of the body, is he therefore not of the body? No, it is still of the body, you know, and so on and so forth. Neither can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Or this to that, I have no need of you. Or, you see, let me bring that home, what he's talking about there. You may be saying within yourself, because I'm not one of the pastors, I don't have anything to give. See, that's what that scripture is saying. The hand is saying, because I'm not the foot, or I'm not the head, I'm not of the body, I don't have anything to give. Remember, a few weeks back, we started talking about, you know, God requiring fruitfulness. It was leading to this. You got to use what you have now. Amen. Now, I mentioned this briefly on Friday. Majority, 90 something percent of Christendom today, even in Pentecostal churches that believe in the Holy Ghost or charismatic, whatever, they come to church only to receive. Now, we have a situation that I'm believing God for when I go to church, that I will hear a word from the pastor that will help me throughout the week. That's wonderful. I have pain in my back and I'm believing that I will get prayer in church and I will be healed. That's wonderful. I have this and I have that, and so on. I'm believing God that, you know, something will happen in church and I will get through the week because of the ministration that I will see. That's wonderful. But what is your role? Is your role to just come and receive only and not do anything else? See, this is where we are wrong. See, we are wrong. Because we only think, oh, I'm not the preacher and I'm not the this and not that. God has given you a gift to profit without. Amen. And you must stir up that gift. Praise the Lord. You must stir up that gift so that it can benefit everybody. Now, when we come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, look, we are expected to have a dream, a vision, and all of this and so forth. Of course, if you are going to have a dream, not in the church. Amen. You can't have a dream in the church, oh folks, because I want you to sleep in church. Amen. You must have a dream before you come to church. Write down your dream. Don't come and sleep in church. If you sleep in church, I'm coming to wake you up. So the dream is for before you come to church. But you can fall into a trance while you are in the church. You can have a vision while you are in the church. And I'm going to explain something to us today to help us understand how we can let the Holy Spirit flow in the service. Because we have not been doing it. And people don't understand how it works. There are times when God is speaking to us, like I'm preaching right now. You can't jump up right now and give a prophecy because I'm preaching. God is already speaking to us. Amen? Amen. So there is a time for that. When the preacher is preaching, they are preaching. That's not the time for you to jump up and give a tongue interpretation. No. But there are many other places during the service, you know. So let me begin to explain it to us to help all of us. Even the praise team should listen. During praise and worship, we expect to have Holy Ghost ministration. It has not been happening because that has not been our culture. And I have experienced this when I was a young man. I told you a story last time when I was in science school. You know, and I remember when we didn't have a praise team like drums and all these things. All we did was just beat our hands, I mean, clap our hands and do this. But every time that we began to praise the Lord, Holy Ghost would speak. That's right. Tongues will break forth. Interpretation will break forth. Prophecy will break forth. Because God wants to communicate with his people. Now, I'm also encouraging us that during the time of the so-called review, let it be a time that the Holy Ghost can flow. Praise the Lord. So there are many parts. And let me show you how the body ministry works. I'm going to give you a testimony. Someone will say, well, why is it so many years ago that you testified? Well, I like my response to that is all the things I'm reading in the Bible today, they are older than my experience at science school. Praise the Lord. And I'm still reading them and shouting about them. So whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. Yes. Hallelujah. Whether he did it when he was in science school, it is forever. It's an everlasting testimonial. You cannot erase it. So let me tell you what happened in science school. One day we wanted to go for a revival. We were praying. We were always fasting, by the way. See, God has been taking me back to that place. I love this song that says, take me back where I once believed. God has been taking me back because when I was in science school, folks, and I lie not, my wife may be able to testify to me. Every week, I ate last on Wednesday night until Sunday night after the fellowship. Every single week for a whole year. There were days when we fasted 7 days, 2 weeks, whatever, like that. And we were always in tune. Holy Ghost was moving. There was flowing of the spirit. And you could go from one fellowship to another and say, oh, there's something's happening over. You go there, demons start crying out and all kinds of things. You know. We also were submitting ourselves to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. But more importantly, we took God at his word. Because we were just kids. I was barely 20 years old. I just believed God. One day we wanted to go for this camp meeting. I want to show you how the Holy Ghost works in unison. We say, oh yeah, let's go and fast and pray somewhere. But where are we going to go? None of us had jobs. None of us have money. We can't rent a resort or whatever. So we say, let's go and pray. Okay? So everybody say, let's go and pray. I say, let's go and pray. And whatever God brings you, tells you, you come and bring. Okay, so we went and prayed. A few days later, everybody comes. Say, what did God give you? Folks, this is the truth. And a sister got up, gave a vision. We drew it. Another brother got up, gave something. We put it down. Somebody gave a tongue, and a brother gave an interpretation. We added it to it. Somebody gave a word of prophecy. We added it to it. And we just began to put everything together. And after, when we finished putting it together, we had a drawing that looked like an island. And we had cottages that were already prepared. And we say, ah. And so somebody said, I recognize this looks like that place. I said, what is that place? I didn't even know the place. He said, how do you get there? And somebody said, you know, you have to take a ferry from here to there and this and that. So we all organized ourselves and said, okay, so day, meet here, let's go there. Hallelujah. Amen. So we went there, we got in the ferry, we went across the water a long ways. Then we got to this place, long sand everywhere. And then there were some cottages. Say, wow, that looks like what the sister saw and the other brother saw and so forth. So we went, and in that vision and all those pieces, as we put it together, God already told us that somebody has prepared the place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we got there. So I'm looking around, you know. At that time I was one of the leaders. So I go knock somewhere and say, but we're looking for the person that owns this place. And he says, you know. And we started to say, yeah. I have just the place for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you need to give the Lord a bigger hand clap than that. Praise the Lord. God already prepared that place and made that man prepare that place. And he already knew we were coming. You guys say, no. Don't worry about it. You can have all this place. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But how did God direct us there? It wasn't just one person's vision. In fact, there were about five people or six that gave. A brother gave an interpretation of a tongue, and it was so precise. You know, somebody gave a vision, somebody gave a dream, and we just put it together because we didn't know it was pieces. Folks, most of the time when you give a tongue or interpretation, it may only be one piece of the puzzle. There may be another person in the audience that is holding back that other piece and did not release it, and you are cheating us out of the blessing that God has for us. And God will hold you responsible. You are hearing it today. You are holding us because you didn't release the other part that we need. You know, how many of you ever done this jigsaw puzzle? Jigsaw puzzle, kids. Have you done jigsaw puzzle? I used to love it when I was a kid. Thousands of pieces. You may start with 500 pieces or 250 pieces. The more you get, the smaller the pieces. You know. And then you just see one picture at the back of the box, and you got to put it together. Well, folks, the only person that has that picture is the Lord.
Yeah.
Nobody else knows what that picture is, because we know in part and we prophesy in part. But God, he will bring it together.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else too. At science school, and my wife knows this person, there was a brother at science school that had a unique gift of interpretation of tongues. I have never seen it since I have been in this line of Christianity till today. And we were all just in our 20s. It was so unique that no matter what you said in tongues, some of us interpreted, you know, tongues. I've interpreted tongues before by faith. No, this brother's son wasn't just by faith. He understood exactly what you said. Exactly. You could speak in tongues. You could say anything, pray or whatever. He'll tell you exactly what you said in tongues. It was great. It was fantastic. You know. One day, my wife was sitting there. She had a birthday party or something, invited some of her friends. I went there. I don't even know if we were married then or not, but we were going together. So I went there. She told me that there's this lady that needs deliverance. Oh, okay. So I said, okay, fine. We'll deal with her later on. She was somebody that worked in her office. This brother wasn't there. He came in very late for the party. When he came, I went with him and I just hugged him and we started praying. I started saying something to him. I wasn't really praying. I just said something to him. And he asked me, I said, who is the sister that needs deliverance? This is the truth. Because I just said, there's a sister that needs deliverance and we need to go and pray for her after the party. And he just asked me, who is the person that needs deliverance that we need to pray? And I said, come and see. Praise the Lord. I got used to it. We got used to this gift. It was flowing. It was just flowing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we got used to it, and God was doing great things. And why? You know, none of us knew all this end time series then. You know, I mean, we didn't know so big. But what we knew was that the book of Acts, he says, this sign shall follow believers.
Amen.
These things will happen when you believe God.
Amen.
Holy Ghost will flow when you believe God. And anytime somebody came and gave a testimony, and that person jumped up and said, no, I got to go do the same. Amen.
Amen.
Provoking one another unto good works.
Amen.
You know, and everybody began to, and it was incredible, folks. You know, and we had a miracle love feast, and we were praying that who, and I'm coming to this part now, how you will identify the gifts of God in your life or your calling. So we came to this part, you know, and by the grace of God, I was already a minister. I was always a minister everywhere I went, you know, back in those days, you know. So, and then we are going to have this miracle rally. Nobody has ever done that in that school. And we said we're going to do it. We didn't have any money, you know, we said we're going to do it. So we began to pray, because everything we did then, we said, Lord, what would you have us do? So we prayed and we said, show us who's going to preach on that day. Now, they didn't want to appoint just the preacher, is this or that. There were four or five that preached. So we went to pray. And there were some of these wonderful sisters. They had this gift so sharp. Hallelujah. So sharp. I mean, pinpoint. You know, and God will bring the vision. But by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So the sister came. He brought a vision. Another came, he brought a vision. And that came, and when he put it all together, he pointed to exactly the same place. The same thing. And in one sister's vision, he said, you know, I mean, she said she saw some of the ministers, you know, those of us who were ministering there. And then when she saw something like cloven tongues of fire fall on one of them, and said, A special anointing, the gifts of healing, you know. And she was confirming something that God already told. Amen?
Amen.
And I tell you, folks, when that person preached on that day, my lands, there was miracles everywhere.
Amen.
It was tremendous. Folks, this is how the Holy Ghost works. And God can show even the anointing that is in you, and God can move you from where you are to the place by you, that you need to be, by you operating the gift that you have now. That's why we preach that message on God requires fruitfulness. Daniel used his gift that he had now, and God used it to promote him to the head of the presidents and everybody in that region then, in those days. And the gift he had was an uncanny gift of interpretation, knowing dark sentences. He could understand it. One time he said, you know, there was a handwriting that came, and nobody could figure it out. And he said, mene, tekel, or fasten. And nobody figured out. Daniel, he came. He said, interpretations belong to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he gave the interpretation. One time even the king said, tell me my dream, and then tell me my interpretation. That has never happened. You tell me the dream, then I tell you interpretation. That's how it works. But he said, no. You guys must tell me the dream. And he said, look,
There is no king anywhere that has this of any Chaldeans or any magician. It's not done. The king said, well, you guys are buying time. If you don't tell me, away with all your homes and everybody, I'm going to kill all of you. So when Daniel and his fellows heard of it, they said, huh? Kill all of us. Let's go and pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, folks.
Amen.
They knew that if they prayed, God would give the answer.
Hallelujah.
These were people that were experienced in hearing from God. It wasn't just any kind of one year, 10 years later. No, that's how it was when we were in science school. We were experiencing here. When anything said, let's go and pray. Immediately, vision, interpretation, tongues, everything will begin to flow. Put it together, answer. Right there. Amen.
Amen.
So they went to pray. And the night, God visited Daniel. He saw everything that Nebuchadnezzar already dreamed. He had the same dream again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then he got up and said, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, the dream is sure. And interpretation thereof is certain. Or maybe the other way around. The dream is certain and the interpretation thereof is sure. Hallelujah. And he gave it to him. And he didn't say, oh, maybe it means this. No, he gave it to him. He gave it to him. This is your dream. This is what you saw. Because God visited him. But he had some praying partners. Hallelujah. Now that gift began to work in him. And eventually, the gift promoted him. And when the gift promoted him, he said, ah, King, I have some friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Put them over here. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Joseph, he used his gift like that too.
Yes.
In the beginning, he had this gift of dreams. Well, we don't know whether he knew the interpretation or not, but he has this gift. One day, the gift got him into trouble with his brothers. They sold him into slavery. To cut a long story short, the gift would bring him to the head of everybody in Egypt except Pharaoh. By him interpreting the gifts, the dreams for the butler and the baker in the prison, 2 years later, they said, oh, I've done the wrong. He interpreted both of our dreams in one night. Me, you restored, the other man, you hanged. And it was so like he interpreted. And there's a fault with me this day because I have not remembered him. Let my Pharaoh now call this man. He will show the interpretation. Hallelujah. So they bring him out of prison. He has to quickly shave. He stands before Pharaoh. And he says this. And I say, I want you to know that interpretation belongs to God. And we will show the interpretation. So Pharaoh said, look, God has doubled it to you twice. Because God is telling the Pharaoh what he will do. And a word of knowledge comes. A word of wisdom comes. How to break it forth. This is what you do. Bam, bam, bam. He put it like that. Amen.
Yeah.
And then Pharaoh says, well, where can we find a man so discreet and so full of the spirit of the gods? You know, like such a one as this. He said, you are Joseph. And I am Pharaoh. And there shall nothing happen in Egypt but by your word. And I am Pharaoh. Hallelujah. From prison to the throne. Because of the gift of God. Now, Daniel wasn't seeking to be promoted. He was just using his gift. But you can see how the gift of God begins to move you into your destiny. Hallelujah. Many years ago, we used to have house fellowship. And I remember Brother Emmanuel, Brother Peter, and myself. We used to run around, open the place, keep the place, clean the place when we were renting one place. And later on, all of that service and everything that we're doing, God was going to move it into this thing that you see now. I didn't know it until one day Brother Julius preached something in our very first building. And he preached something similar to what I just said. That, you know, when you're faithful in what God gives you, can actually move you into something else. And I look back and say, wow. And I wasn't thinking about it then. But God, you know, when you begin to exercise what God gives you now. Jesus said in the story of the parables, the parable of the pounds. He said, because you use what I gave you now, I will now put you over 5 cities. I will now put you over 10 cities. We don't know that the person ever was over any city before. All they had was a talent. But they used what they had now, and God began to promote them from by using what they have to move them to God's destiny for their lives. Folks, that's how you get there. Now you say, how do I understand the gift of God that is in me? Well, it could be through prophecy. You know, me, when I was in science school, I already knew that I had a gift of faith and some other things and pray for the sick and so forth. But God confirmed it one day when he said, a special anointing, the gifts of healing, a special anointing. And I have seen through, this is not about me, so forget that, you know, but I'm just telling you something. You know, and I have seen, praise the Lord, that when the Holy Ghost wants, and I let him move, the gifts work freely. Praise ye the Lord. You know, I'm going to give you one or two more testimonies, and then we close. We're going to do something here before we close. I want you to see, how do you begin to recognize the gift of God in your life? This is how. When God is using you to do something little, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. He may be doing something and you may not know it. Praise the Lord. I noticed then that when I was even 5 years old, I had faith. I wasn't even saved. I didn't even know. So one day I was 5 years old. It was raining. I came out. Remember, this is not about me. I came out. I'm just bringing out a point. I came out in the rain. I said, well, I don't know how I believed it. I said, I'm going to pray that this rain should stop. And I did, and it stopped. I said, I'm going to pray. I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. I remember it because the house we were living in there. I said, I'm going to pray that this rain should start. The rain started again. I did it a couple of times. I was so excited. I ran in the house until I'm the last of all the siblings in the house. I ran to the house and I told my siblings, said, come on. It was a coincidence. It was this thing, you know, and so forth. And they just shut the thing down. They shut it down. You know, and I was thinking, but I would say, well, I don't think it's coincidence. You know, because God was prompting me, even at a young age, moving me in that direction. Praise the Lord. You may find that God is already moving you in certain directions. Hallelujah. Amen. You may not know what it is. You know, you may go to the store and all of a sudden God tell you, go and speak to this person. Well, you know, that may be the word of knowledge that's already operating. Yes, sir. And if you shut it down, you say, well, I can't do it. You know, and so forth. Well, you do that, you shut it down enough times, it won't work anymore. So one day, I went to the Chapel of Resurrection in UI. I used to go there to pray in the afternoons, University of Ibadan in Nigeria. Place was always open. I was way in the back. And there was only two people in the building that day. There was one other gentleman way in the front. And I looked around. There was nobody. I was happy. So I could do whatever I wanted to do. And then when I saw that somebody way in front, and Holy Ghost said, go and pray for him and lay your hands on his chest. I don't know this guy from nowhere. I just go and pray. Lay hands suddenly on no man. That's what the Bible says. And I was trying to argue that. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Holy Ghost said, go and pray for him. Lay hands on his chest. So I walk over. I said, brother, how are you doing? He said, praise the Lord. I didn't even know that he knew me because I didn't know him. But he knew me because he had seen me in the fellowship and things like that. But I didn't know him. So I said, can I pray for you? Holy Ghost said, I should pray for you. I want to lay hands on your chest. I said, okay. I prayed for him. We left. The next Tuesday fellowship, we used to have fellowship on Tuesdays that day. I don't know if that day was a Monday or whatever. Anyway, the next Tuesday fellowship, this guy comes in. I recognize him when he stands up, because now I know him. He has these big, gigantic envelopes. I don't know what he's going to say, you know. And then he stands up and he says he wants to give a testimony. And he starts pulling out these things from these big envelopes. They're like x-ray, these x-ray pictures, you know, of his chest. I didn't ask him any question like that. I just laid my hands on his chair and prayed. I left. I just left like that. And then he tells this incredible story. He said, for years that he has been having chronic bronchitis or this and that, he has gone to this. So he brings this first set of slides that showed when he had this thing. And then he said, on so-so day, I was praying in the chapel, and this brother came and said, Holy Ghost said, pray, lay my hands on me. And he did. And then I went to the doctor, and he brought the next set of slides, and he was clear. Now, I had the choice of obeying the Holy Ghost or not. There was a life that was saved that day. Because by the grace of God, I obeyed the Holy Ghost. Now, you don't know what life you are going to save. You don't know what life you are going to save by obeying the Holy Ghost. And if you don't obey, you don't know what life might be lost. Whenever you get a prompting in the Holy Ghost, and you must walk in the Spirit, folks. You can't just, you know, spend your whole time watching TV, doing Facebook and all this stuff. No. You must walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Holy Ghost wants to communicate with us. And he wants us to be a vessel. A flowing vessel. A vessel that he can flow through us. Hallelujah. Now, God has spoken to many of us here today. I have many more things to say, but I'm going to end it there. We were going to have a night vigil this Friday at 10 o'clock. If God moves on your heart to come, come, because I will continue the Holy Ghost series there. And we are going to continue this until this place is supercharged. Until a new person comes in and the secrets of his heart are revealed by the prophecy. Hallelujah. Because I remember, you know, days in science school, how it used to be. And I've been crying. I said, God, I want again. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time, Lord. I want to see you in the sanctuary like when I saw you move. And we didn't have fancy building like this. In fact, one time we used to meet on Bar Beach. We didn't even have a building. You know, and you know, the students used to call them Bar Beach SU. And there was another SU that was meeting somewhere else, you know. But whether Bar Beach or anywhere, the Holy Ghost was moving. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hear this testimony before I close. One day we were in this so-called Bar Beach. Just on the beach out there. And there was something unique happening that we didn't even know. And God began to draw people. And many people came, you know. I've said that before, but on this particular case, there was this crippled man. Crippled. He saw something like fire. And he crawled. In fact, you know, I have forgotten this testimony until one day when Brother Roland Akimon was here. He was reminding me of this. This man crawled. He must have crawled like 2 miles. You know, we have these crippled people in Nigeria that crawl on the street, begging for money. This man must have crawled for like 2 miles. I don't know how long he was crawling, because the place where we used to be was far from the street. I don't know where he saw. He was crawling. He crawled to that meeting. This man went home standing upright. Hallelujah. That is the truth. Because we allow the Holy Ghost to move. There was a man, I know I said I was going to close, and my wife's going to challenge me about this. Every time you say you are going to close, you preach for under 30 minutes. You know. There was a man there that sold this fanis. You've heard me say this testimony. This bicycle thing. How many people remember Samco fanis? Yes. And his name was Sam. And he sold this Samco ice. Deaf and dumb. Never spoke a word all his life. Grown man. And then all the students bought this thing from him. And he would sign, they would do sign language. One day, I don't know what it was, you know, this man came into our fellowship. He ran out of that place, shouting and praising God. Singing and shouting and praising God. He was running out all around the campus. He was running all around the campus. And everybody knew this man. Because all the students patronized him. He was the only one that had this Samco stand. And if you want to buy Fan Ice or Samco, you bought from him. There was no other person. And that person had Gala or whatever on the side. This man had his own.
When he started running and shouting and praising God, people say, is that not Sam?
And a huge revival broke forth in the school. Huge revival. People started coming and saying, wow. And he said, I went to this. He was telling them what happened to him. And people started coming to the fellowship.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Folks, God will advertise himself.
Yeah.
Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Hallelujah. God will advertise himself. We didn't have radio advertisement. We didn't have television. But we had the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was flowing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't even have time to talk to you. Maybe in the night vigil we will. Of activities of casting out of devils. And so forth like that. I don't have time today. Now, you heard enough today to be challenged that the Holy Ghost must move through you. I've talked about how the Holy Ghost must move in individuals. So let's begin to pray. Begin to pray. If you have a blockage, all these things that we have talked about, begin to ask God to release, to help you. If you have an emotional wound or emotional wounds that is causing you to tighten up and won't cause you to release, begin to surrender to God now. And in the church, God told us this on Friday by prophecy. There must be unity. Unity is another, lack thereof is another blockage in the church when people are not united. I'm asking God to release the fire upon us today. Holy Ghost fire, come upon us. Holy Ghost fire, come upon us. Holy Ghost fire, come upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the anointing flow. Let the anointing flow. Let the anointing flow. Let the anointing flow. I want the singers to come. Come to the stage. And you two sisters that are sitting there, come to the stage with them. I want you to sing anointing. Fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All over this place. Begin to release yourself to the Holy Ghost. This is more than just speaking in tongues, folks. The people that speak in tongues have been speaking in tongues for 10 years. And that's all they have. They are like those that are on the brink of the river or just ankle deep. There is much more to the Holy Ghost than speaking in tongues, folks. Anointing. Fall on me. If you want that anointing to fall on you today, I want you to step forward. If you have this blockage in you, the kinks that have not let the Holy Ghost flow like a river, like rivers of living water, they are not flowing. You have received the Holy Ghost, but it's not flowing. Holy Ghost is not flowing. You have emotional wounds. You have some tightening. You have whatever is causing the Holy Ghost not to flow. Come forward here today. Hallelujah. Now, as they begin to sing,
I want you to fall before your face, kneel down, sit down, do whatever, and begin to receive. Hallelujah. Anointing. And if any of you praise him, want the anointing. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me,
anointing fall on me.
I invite the praise team. If you are there and any one of you wants the anointing, you can come here. Just like everybody else, we need the anointing. As you continue to sing, we're all here, we're going to ask for the anointing. Raise that song again. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power One Pastor Augustine, Pastor Julius, Pastor Emmanuel, Pastor Peter, let's come out and lay hands on this folks. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Brother John, I got a minute. Join us in ministry to these people. Help us to lay hands on the people. Anointing fall on me. Anointing on me. Araboshi. Anointing fall on me. Let the power, the Holy Ghost fall on me. Hallelujah.
Anointing fall on me.
We are going to stay here as long as it takes. Anointing fall on me. Anointing.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on you.
Hallelujah. Oh, let the Holy Ghost anoint. Break heaven. Anointing. I'm going to pray over everybody that is here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your anointing fall upon everyone. As we submit ourselves, as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, let the anointing, folks, as the ministers are laying hands on you, receive the breakthrough that you need. God has ordained that through laying on of hands, folks, this is how God ordained it in the New Testament. Through laying on of hands, you receive your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And begin to prophesy. Begin to speak in tongues. If you speak in tongues, pray that you interpret, and God will give you the interpretation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This is only the beginning, folks. We are going to, from this day forward, by the grace of God, we are going to be witnessing a move of the Spirit in the church until we get to the point where there is an awesome display of God's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to say to everybody that came out this morning, the Lord has answered your prayer. The Spirit will begin to move on you at times. Do not resist when it moves on you. And in this church, the Spirit says, quench not prophesying. Quench not the Spirit and despise not prophesying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Hallelujah. There's one more story I want to tell you. There was a congregation where people were, and somebody stood up to prophesy. But because the people and the ministers did not trust the person that was prophesying, they shut him down. Because they didn't trust him. Because he was some kind of a rebel that used to oppose everything that they did. And then when somebody that they trusted would speak, everybody would applaud. But I happened to be in that meeting that day that they shut down this person that spoke. And he spoke from the Lord. That's right. He spoke from the Lord and exposed the bickering, the fightings that are among siblings and so forth. He gave a revelation that God gave him. And how we devour and fight and bite and kill each other. And they shut him down. But he spoke from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's not shut people down just because we don't know them. Or because you don't trust them. There is a gift that is called discerning of spirits. We'll talk about that later. But it doesn't work by suspicion. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has done a great thing today. And if you believe it, you can shout hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. I'm going to ask us to prepare our offerings real quick. I almost forgot about that. It was a good thing that we didn't have to break bread today because we ran out of time. It's already 1 o'clock. But this is something that we're going to have to let the Holy Ghost move. Watching your timepiece all the time is another constriction of the Holy Spirit. He will move. We're not going to delay the service for no reason. But if the Holy Ghost is moving, we will let him move. Amen.
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 Prepare your offerings. And as you come and give, release yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. God is more interested in you as a human being to be resident in than your money. Bring the money if you want to, but yield yourself to God. I'm going to request, you may have something else prepared, but I want to request this. I want you to sing, I give myself away, but I want you to sing, I give myself to you, so you can use me. And as you are coming, folks, you begin to give yourself to the Lord so he can use you. As they sing this song, I give myself to you so you can use me. You can come at any time and put your offerings here. And that's going to be our last portion of the service before we close this part. And afterwards, the marriage workshop. I give myself to you.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself, I give myself.
Can you? I give myself.
Vero, I'd like you to come and give thanks for the offering and the service today as we get ready to close.
Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, God.